Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Forever! Dog!
Audience, audience, when we last left the good boys, they were ripped apart from each other and scattered into different corners of the multiverse. The only way they can fix the dimensional rift and reunite is to record separate solo podcasts about stuff at malls next to theme parks. We take you now to Jason's End of the Multiverse.
Welcome to the Pepcast, the number one Buca de Pepo fancast. I'm your host, the Baron of Breadsticks, the Maestro of Marinara, Jason Sheridan. Today, we're talking Baked Ziti, and I've got two great guests. My first guest, she's a writer for the blog Carrion, a part of UNORC magazine. Pethy Squires is here. Pethy, how are you?
It's great to be here. I'm full of pep.
Oh, thanks. Great. That's what we want here at the Pepcast. My other guest, you know her. She's a stylist. She's also my love, my girlfriend, Claire Jane. How are you, Clary?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm also happy to be here. I put our cat Odie in the bedroom just so, like, you know, he wouldn't escape.
Yeah, Odie is a real handful. So how are you all doing a couple days after our lovely Buca meal?
I'm feeling pretty good, pretty level.
Yeah, it was a nice time, you know?
It was a time.
Oh, it was quite a time, all right. Now, I'm learning that next to Buca, not only is there a theme park, there's this outdoor shopping and dining destination called City Walk, and I had you both on because I figured maybe you could educate me. You both spent a lot of time up there at City Walk, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I've hit some of the shops there, some of the, I guess you could call it food establishments up there.
You don't know anything about it, okay.
I don't know anything. Yeah, you used to work at the theme park. Now, how did you hide this in our relationship for so long?
Well, I'm an actor, and that's why I worked at Universal Studios Hollywood, because I'm an actor.
Like, I don't want to, you know, the first-time guest, long-time listener, Jason, you talk about Buca de Pepo a lot, and I think maybe it just, you're so focused on the Pepo that some details of other people's lives don't come through.
Well, yeah, that's true, and you know, I usually get out of a taxi in front of Buca, I go right in to the Pepo, and I come right out. And I've often asked myself, like, what's all that racket over there? All that sound and light. But I had never really investigated until we went up there.
Bright lights, big city, baby.
Oh, yes. Good. Pethy, you said you were wearing some items from this location.
Yeah, I know it's weird, but I like theme parks. I mean, I'm just weird like that, I guess. Yeah, I go there a lot. I'm an annual pass holder. I just happen to be wearing my old Hard Rock pendant from when there used to be a Hard Rock there. It's, of course, now a Wonka's Emporium. And then I have socks on from the Los Angeles Sock Exchange. They have a store there that's just socks. It's great.
Oh, wow.
That's, you should go.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever heard anything like that. But enough of talking about other establishments. Let's get into our Pepo meal. Now, we had kind of a mix of stuff, you know. We tried a variety of items. Pethy, you had a martini? I see vodka on the receipt.
Yeah, I had an espresso martini.
How was that?
It was fine when it got there. I know this restaurant means a lot to you, and I don't want to come in hot.
Oh, please be honest. Don't hold anything back. We are no holds barred here.
Okay. I worry that Buca di Pepo is a dark nexus in the American culture.
Okay, interesting take. Have not heard that one before. Please go on.
So the espresso martini, it took a long time to get there because we were sat upstairs, and it seems like maybe the people who have to work upstairs don't like it, because as I was walking up the stairs, I heard a server stomping down and said, "I'm not running shit up there," and then see me and a deer in the headlights, fear in her eyes, and she just zoomed past me.
Okay, that's the first time I've ever heard anyone talk negative about the area that I call the bird's nest. Claire and I took the elevator because I, you know, have a little difficulty getting around sometimes. What did you think about that elevator, Clary?
Well, it was interesting because it was very small, windowless, and as you were using it and going up or down, there were
It's okay. It's Pepo. Hard
use. It's called Buca di Pepo. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. That's
thank
okay.
For clarifying. It's called Buca di Pepo, and there were.
There were Buca ads. We were laughing about that. Like, we're already here in the restaurant, Robert Earl. You don't have to sell the restaurant to us.
Entice us, I guess, to get to our table upstairs. And it kind of smelled, but it also took a long time, so it was pretty fun.
It was a long elevator. It almost seemed like a large dumbwaiter that we were told to go into.
Oh, yeah.
We also could not operate it ourselves. Someone had to begrudgingly get us in and out of it.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, the stairs just has the ugliest murals you've seen in your life. Just faces that are so close to looking like human faces.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a unique episode 99, and we're finally getting some criticism. So that's great. That's great. Like, the people on the Reddit will be happy about the Pepo Reddit, and check that out, everyone. Also, please check out our Drip page. That's the crowdfunding website started by Kickstarter. It's a big hit. Our Drip keeps growing and growing. Soon it'll be, what's bigger than a Drip, anyone? I don't know.
Drizzle?
Oh, soon it'll be a Drizzle. I like that a lot. Well, I'm going to have to say that more often. So keep giving to that Drip account, and as you know, I don't even have to keep saying it. It's a website we all visit on a daily basis. It's a huge hit. So let's get into our meal. We started off with a small mixed green salad. What did you both think about this?
I thought it was fine. A lot of iceberg lettuce. I got really excited about the olives and realized there were only like two. And then the one I got also had a piece of a pit in it, which was a surprise. But yeah, you know, a nice little starter white salad.
Yeah, you know, normal salad, Olive Garden-esque. I don't know if we can't mention other Italian chains here. But it's about this. Only they.
I mean, that's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry.
Fine. We did say fine a lot this meal. In for a mixed green salad, it did have an awful lot of iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, one green salad.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it is a one green salad. It wasn't really mixed at all. There wasn't a lot of olives. I ate one of the two. I do not like olives. I kind of didn't realize I was eating it.
You took a precious olive away and you didn't mean to, or you didn't enjoy it and you took it away. That's a slap in the freaking face, man. Why did you do that?
It's a salad for three people and there's only two olives.
Okay. Exactly. And you took one.
Ugh.
Look, that's fine. The meal kind of threw me off my game, honestly. Pevy, you had said, like, oh, we have to try the giant meatballs.
We have to try the giant meatballs.
Kind of
meatballs.
A signature there. Yeah. And if I can get in on the criticism game a little, these were the driest meatballs I've ever eaten in my life. But it was very fun. And you took one home, dear husband. How did they feel about it?
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
I think they felt it was fine, you know? We had to cut it in half to get it into the container because they didn't have a container big enough for the giant meatballs.
Yeah, it was a little surprising to not get a custom meatball container because it's kind of a signature there.
Like, you could use those boxes corsages come in and then everyone could see the beautiful meatball. I think that would really elevate the take-home presentation.
I mean, I can put that in my next letter to Robert Earl. He hasn't answered any of the other ones, but I can certainly try. Also, looking at our bill at the end, I've got the receipt here to go in my scrapbook of Buca receipts. Those three giant meatballs were $30, which breaks down to roughly $10 a meatball, and I'm not quite sure about the economics of that.
Yeah, I wanted to get the meatballs because some of my favorite pictures ever taken are of Sofia Vergara holding giant meatballs at Buca di Beppo.
Yes.
And that's why I wanted to show these to you. I mean, I'm sure as an old hand, you've probably seen them before. But specifically this one of her doing a sort of what I think of as Larry David in Whatever Works hand gesture.
Oh, my God. She's
got a whole table full of giant meatballs.
Hundreds of dollars of meatballs.
It was a fundraiser that she would do there called Meatballs for Ninos. I'm not sure what it raised money for.
Okay.
But she did it a couple of times.
Celebrity fundraisers, that money doesn't just disappear or anything. So I'm assuming it probably went to the Ninos. The Ninos, shit out of luck, I'm guessing.
Ripped to the Ninos.
God, it's such a man's world. Women can't have anything, I swear to fuck.
But is this a good time for me to bring up the other pictures of celebrities at Buca di Beppo?
Yes, please.
At my work at Carrion, I have access to like a big Getty database. And so one day I just searched Buca di Beppo. And there's, I think, 47 pages of people getting their picture taken.
47 pictures?
No, 47 pages.
Wow.
50 pictures per page.
What? This is my dream.
Of people getting their picture taken at the Times Square Buca di Beppo.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, here is a woman who I'm told is famous. Oh, is this Angie from Jersey Shore or Gina or some whatever.
I don't know, but that's quite a picture.
She's holding
in her bare hands.
She's holding meatballs in her hands over her boobs, like on them.
Oh, as if they were breasts.
It's
a sort of
simulacrum, yeah. And then here's Snooki and JWoww, and they do the thing that a lot of people do there, where so when you're a celebrity and you go to Buca di Beppo, hopefully this will happen for you someday. They present a bowl of marinara, and you dip your hands in it like Grauman's Chinese Theater, and then you put it on the wall. You put your hands on a piece of paper, and then they frame just rotting tomato sauce with your signature on it. And that's just up there now.
I mean, I've done this recreationally, and they don't seem to like it anytime I do it.
And there's three types of people who seem to go do the handbrand thing at the Buca di Beppo Times Square. It's Miss Universe or Miss USA.
Oh my God. Wait. Sorry, I have to add to that later.
Professional poker, like World Series of Poker champions, and underage Disney stars.
No.
And that's it.
No, the trifecta of fame.
Oh my God. Well, sorry I had interrupted you, but I did like two pageants when I was younger in Florida, like in my 20s, not like baby. But I remember like the girl who won, they would often do like events at the Buca. And I just thought it was like, oh, that's just where like in town they like whatever. I feel like there is like a legit like maybe corporation something kind of tie-in, because it's not the first time I've heard about like pageantry and Buca. I'm not kidding you.
No, that tracks to me, right? Because I think Robert Earl has his hands in a lot of pizza pies.
Got it.
Is this a good time to bring up the housewives of it all?
Yes, you also mentioned housewife connection.
Yeah, Robert Earl shows up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules like more than I would assume a chain restaurateur would.
I mean, he's a star. After Miss Universe, World Series of Poker Players, and Child Actors, Robert Earl's like number four or number one, like above all those people in terms of the fame game, at least my fame game.
Sure. And so the first time I noticed him was I was watching an old episode of Vanderpump Rules, and he goes with Lisa Vanderpump to check out what will eventually become Pump Restaurant in WeHo, which has since closed during Scandival.
Rest in peace.
But he's just like, it's going to be fabulous here. And Lisa Vanderpump, of course, makes some joke that, like, the gay waiters are going to blow him. And he's like, oh, you. And it's very, like, that energy.
Oh,
that
my God.
Lisa always has. And then, in an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there was a whole arc where he had Dorit decorate a room in the Encino Buca di Beppo.
Oh, I've always wanted to go there. Yeah, my dream.
Okay, we're going to talk about the other thing that the Encino Buca di Beppo is famous for near the end. Let's get through some happiness first.
Okay.
Okay. We can't wait.
But yeah, so there was a huge fight at the Encino Buca di Beppo in the Capri room when... It was this whole thing where Brandi Glanville said that she had slept with Denise Richards, and Denise Richards said that they didn't even really know each other and blah, 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 blah. But if you've ever wanted to see a woman having like full body sobs claiming that she ate somebody out in a Buca di Beppo, season 10 finale of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I experienced something like that, but... You know, you do a podcast long enough, you've seen everything.
And I mean, restaurants, it's this, you know, it's a very event heavy restaurant. And, you know, tensions are running high. People are stressed out about whether the party's going to happen. While we were there, there was a book publishing.
Okay, so from what I could gather, it was like maybe also a birthday party. But it was also like very clearly very like, you know, a group of religious people. They did all do a mass prayer together. And this was a pretty big, long table. And then at one point, it was just us in there with them. So I caught a woman going, okay, Jeremy, this is why I'm grateful for you. I never really had a brother like you because my real brothers didn't do it. And I believe God brought you to me. And I was like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
And I was scooting out of a very the very tight booth we were sitting in, and I'm like, oh, someone is giving a very heartfelt toast. I should get out of here. And then we got around the corner, and Claire here was like, those people were very religious. And I was like, this is probably not the best time to bring up. I bought two copies of those books, so but one for each of us, dear.
Oh, thank you.
You got to commemorate every Peppo event.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Thank you for being so thoughtful.
So, just kind of off my game now. I almost said Buka to Beppo earlier. Like, I know you said it's okay. It's very it's very common mistake, but BDP, that doesn't even make sense as an abbreviation. Let's get to the Bake City, the reason we're all here today.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
It was fine.
I liked the Rosa sauce, which I think they just mix the red sauce and the white sauce together like in a pitcher and then pour it over the ziti.
The sauce pitcher, yeah.
Okay, so that's like a known thing, the sauce pitcher?
Well, you know, you walk through the kitchen and you can see a little bit of how it's being made. I did realize that the, I guess, chef's table, you might call it, when we were leaving, was actually just the workers eating their food at that table. It was just the workers' table. So I thought that was interesting because I thought it was like a, you know, special experience. It's more just like a little break room that's invisible to everybody.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by that. That's supposed to be a whole experience, yeah. And appeared to be two men all in black having their, like,
shift
family meal. Yeah, their shift meal. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a shift meal to have.
Yeah, Dorit spoke lovingly of eating at the chef's table at the Encino Buca di Peppo.
Oh, man, we must go.
That Capri room makes you feel like you're on the island of Capri, and I don't know how they manage that with just a bunch of false lemons.
And white enamel. Hey.
Very good.
Oh, wow. White enamel. Nice. Fake lemons and white enamel.
I will say the chef's table at the City Walk Pep is very close to the bathrooms and also obviously like kitchen adjacent. So while we were leaving, it was getting closer to close time. And so I think they were breaking down the kitchen and that whole area just smelled like bleach. So maybe like, so, you know, good on them for staying sanitary, you know, keep that A rating. Love it. Work it, girl. But not the most pleasurable eating experience if they just douse the whole place in bleach.
I agree with that. I didn't love that but just me personally, because I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. I didn't love that the bathrooms were like literally like right basically like in the kitchen. Like, I don't know. It just kind of weirded me out because it also a little bit felt like maybe it was like the employee restroom. Like, you're in the back of the kitchen. This might just be a me thing. I do have bathroom like OCD.
Didn't love in our area, there was like an upstairs like chef or not chef's like waiter station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like adjoining our room. Cause you know, like all Buca di Peppos have sort of like warrens of little intimate dining rooms.
Oh yes, of
course. Ours was next to like their prep area, which also meant it was next to their like throwaway trash area. So near the end of the night also, I did get a whiff of just the trash from that room coming into our dining area.
Yikes.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see like a good 30 plus years of this place being open. Maybe they should knock some walls down. Maybe they've taken the intimate Italian restaurant thing as far as one can take it.
But you don't enjoy being in a really nice intimate room with multiple screaming toddlers running around as well and having meltdowns. I think it built to the ambiance.
It certainly adds to the ambiance of every wall surface being covered in pictures. Going from that to very loud prayer gatherings was a bit of a shock. But hey, let's go to something else positive. Every time I go to Buca di Pep, I gotta order the Buddy V's cake slices. And we did two. We restrained ourselves. We didn't get three. So this time we did the rainbow cake and the black and white cake. What did y'all think of these cakes?
They're very pretty. But the second you like put a fork near them, the levels just all kind of split apart. But the contrast of the colors was really nice. It was cake, and the fudge frosting on the chocolate one, like in between the layers, that was pretty good. It tasted like chocolate. The cake didn't really taste a lot like chocolate, but the fudge in between, I will say that icing was quite good.
I don't want to be like a weird conspiracy theorist or anything, but I got the sense that maybe they added extra oil to the cake to make it seem moist for longer. I don't want to be like insane here, but
it
did seem a little oily.
Oh, that's a really good point.
That's interesting, because the parts I got, like the meatballs, were very dry. Well, the icing, I mean, hey, something positive. You always want to hear the chocolate icing tastes like chocolate. That's a positive.
No, it was the in between the layers, because the top, there was still white icing, right?
Yeah,
there was the white icing and like the little jimmies on the end.
And that tasted like nothing.
Yeah, it really didn't taste like anything. It barely tasted like sugar, you know? Sometimes you can taste frosting and it's like, oh, this is just clearly sugar. It kind of just tastes like paste. Like, it just was like paste. So
I think I said that night that it kind of had the feeling of eating food in a dream, where your brain kind of knows you're not tasting anything.
Mm-hmm. I still don't know if we really ate that cake. I agree with you. I totally get what you're saying.
Buddy Valestro, like Robert Earl, I'm shocked would let something be seemingly less than stellar quality. You know?
You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right.
Or just, you know.
Speaking of Buddy Valestro, Robert Earl, and 30 years of Buca, I know you try to focus on the food and stay out of the politics.
Okay.
On the show. You don't like bringing up, you know, dark stuff randomly.
No, I'm scared of it. I'm scared of most things.
On topic, 100%. That's the Jason Sheridan promise.
Yes.
But I do feel like I have to talk a little bit about the history of Buca di Beppo.
Okay.
So it was founded by not Robert Earl, but a different guy Phil Roberts, who, not Italian in the slightest.
Okay.
He said that he wanted to make a restaurant that people could look down on. That's a direct quote.
Oh my God. Wait.
I kind of reword that quote sometimes of something people could look up on.
Okay.
He wouldn't love that, but that's okay.
Okay.
So his idea was he wanted to do like a parody of Italian red sauce joints and put all of the trashiest like Italian stereotyping he could find on the walls.
Oh my God.
But he hired a Milanese chef to make the food. So the food was not a joke, but the walls and he wanted, and the wine list, he wanted to make sure that people felt superior while they were dining there. He said that he knew that he had done a good job when he was walking by a couple and a couple pointed to a statue and said, I would never have that thing in my house. And he was like, yes, I did it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So that it starts becoming a larger chain, and they hire a new CEO who's actually Italian American, Joseph Micotrato from Cleveland, who he starts saying that Buca di Beppo is named after, I'm so sorry, I did it again. Buca di Beppo is named after
Peppo. Like, you got some pep in your step after eating a couple pounds of pasta.
The story just doesn't make me feel peppy. He says that that the place is named after his grandpa Peppo, and that all of the recipes that the Milanese chef had created were his grandmother's recipe book.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know a lot of this story. I did know about Grandpa Peppo.
Yeah, I mean, Grandpa Peppo becomes like a huge part of the mythology even after this guy later leaves because he was charged with stealing more than $200,000 from the company to buy an Italian villa.
Okay, well, that's all of our dreams. You know, I've been working pretty diligently. My day job, of course, at the Los Angeles Hazardous Waste Disposal Site. And I've been trying to save up money for years now to get that villa, you know? I'm very passionate. My two passions in life, Buca di Beppo and proper hazardous waste disposal.
It's more important now than ever.
Don't throw out your batteries. Certainly don't throw out your lithium-ion batteries. Properly dispose of them, folks.
So then it's bought by Robert Earl, who combines it with Planet Hollywood. The Buca di Beppo in New York is also Planet Hollywood. And that's why
okay,
all of those Disney stars were there, I guess. I hope.
That makes a little more sense. But like, yeah, that's still okay. All right. Continue.
And then the last thing, and then we can wrap up on a nice note. I just have to get this out there because it's my first thought anytime I see a Buca di Beppo is the Encino Buca di Beppo, the one with Dorit's Capri room, was also where Phil Hartman's wife had her last meal before, you know.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is
I know, I'm sorry. I know you don't like bummers.
Yeah.
Like
no.
Weird history, and I'm really sorry to do this to you.
That's like that Vitello Studio City Italian restaurant that I don't even want to set foot in cuz last meal where Robert Blake and his wife shared a meal before the murder.
Yeah, I don't know. Did she get to finish that meal? Anyway, let's talk about the dessert.
Hey, let's talk about the dessert. So, not the best Buddy V cakes I've ever had, but that's okay. Because, hey, we bought the picture. You know I got to get the picture. Yeah. We went for the black and white one, which, you know, as we're in a criticism mood today, does make us look like we all died in a plane crash. But that's nice, okay.
It's in a frame. It was like a flat picture frame, like, you know, thick paper. But then I opened the back so you can actually make it like look propped up. And it does really kind of look like that. But also it's really cute.
It is a pretty cute picture. And we all kind of work together to choose a lovely photographer. Actually got to us before our food. So we are seated at a largely empty table. We have some waters and an iced tea.
Bethy, I don't have my martini.
Bethy, oh, excuse me, I almost called you Bethy. Bethy, yeah, you didn't even have your martini yet. But hey, great picture quality, and they gave us three to choose from, and I guess they...
Just, you know, I was wondering this, so... Do they just throw those ones away? I mean, I guess maybe obviously, but also that is so many pictures to waste. And like, you know, do they maybe go somewhere else? Is it at some restaurant somewhere in another place where they're just like, we'll give you pictures of people, you know, like, I don't know where these go.
Maybe Robert Earl has a large surveillance network and this is a record of everyone who's been there.
Oh my God.
And they're doing training face recognition AI on all of our discarded Buca pics.
Oh. Look, I spent 99 episodes trying to figure out where all the other photos go. And, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest solution is likely the right one. So they probably just end up in a garbage dump. But also, they could be training AI. Who knows? Where do the pictures go, Robert? What's going on? Oh, man, this really gives me a lot to think about. But hey, let's get to our rating. Of course, every episode we rate our meal on a scale from Robert Earl to Robert Hurl. Clary, what do you think? Let's start with you.
You know, I think I'm going to split the difference and just give it a Robert.
Great. Great. Middle of the road. Pethy?
Yeah, I would go with just a across the board Robert.
Yeah.
Like a... Yeah, a Robert E. Yeah. One more than that.
Okay.
Slightly above.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to give it a Robert EA because I just can't bring myself to call it anything lower. This was a hard one. Okay, now let's, you know, head for the pasta portal. Who's got some plugs? The pasta plug portal.
Yeah.
Pethy?
I have a zine that I just finished making called Girl Zine. It's about all of the girl stuff from last year. For some reason, it's under Bethy Squires, not Pethy Squires. That's also my Twitter is at Bethy, BSQU, and Instagram, Bethy Squires. And, you know, you can always find me at Carrion Blog at UNORC Meg.
Great. Great. Claire, anything you want to talk about or plug?
I just want to say, I think Pethy is like so cool and like genuinely, I just want to give her like props because she rocks. But I am a stylist. So if you have any events coming up, or you just want a closet refresh, or you just want a little consultation, you can hit me up. I'm at Jane Claire Styling, because at Claire Jane Styling was taken, so I had to like do the stupid swap thing. So you can find me there and say hi.
Great, great. As for me, folks, next episode, very exciting, episode 100. We're finally tackling spaghetti and meatballs. Little meatball talk today to get everyone fired up, you know. And our guest, we had to get a big guest for this episode. And folks, it's a big get. It's like a big, giant meatball size get. It's the totally epic former Vice President Tim Kaine. That's right. Tim Kaine in the membrane, Tim Kaine in the brain. We're going to talk about his totally epic term as VP under President Clinton, a term that happened just before the event. But we're not here to talk about sad stuff like the event. We're here to talk Pepo, Buca de Pepo to be precise. None of that Pepo nonsense. No, it's Buca de Pepo. I've been your host, Jason Sheridan. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you next week on the Pepcast.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.